got another. I should have preached first and then let them sing, because I don't know how in the world I can top that. But you have your Bibles, go ahead. I'm going to be brief. Find John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Seems like I've been in John chapter 20 for about a month, but it's just been a couple of days. But John 20, I want to read verses 11 through 16. John chapter 20, verse 11 through 16. Talking about the resurrection, or discovering the resurrection. The Bible says, beginning in verse 11, John chapter 20, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on the head and the other on the feet, at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know where they have lain him not. I know not where they have lain him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, if you've taken him anywhere, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And verse 16 says, And Jesus said unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his word. I thought about this. There had been a lot of great human achievements in this world. I just thought this morning, we've had a man land on the moon. In a lot of people's lifetime, you went from horse and buggy to a Henry Ford T model to a Hummer or a BMW. I mean, we've seen some great achievements, great inventions, electricity. Who would ever thought? Your great-granddaddy, if you'd have told him one day you'd walk into a room and flip a switch and you'd have power, well, he would think you was crazy. I mean, we've had some inventions. Medical achievements, military achievements, scientific achievements, nuclear energy. There's been some wonderful achievements in our world. But I'm gathered here today to celebrate the greatest human event, the greatest achievement that has ever taken place, and that is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not here today talking about an empty tomb. I'm not preaching about an empty tomb. I'm talking about a risen Savior. I've been to the empty tomb. I had the privilege to go there one time. I told the early service that I walked in that tomb, and I've got good news, nobody there. He is risen just like he said. So we're not gathered today to celebrate an empty tomb, although that's great, the tomb is empty. I'm preaching this morning about a risen Savior. I thought about it, an empty tomb didn't convince the disciples. They were there, they saw the empty tomb, but didn't convince them. Only the risen Savior. You know, old Thomas doubted, and Jesus said, look at me, touch me. Man has achieved many, many, many good things, but I'm here to say this morning, only one man died and rose again. And listen, to never die again. Jesus is alive forevermore. And that gives me hope. And it ought to give you hope this morning. The Bible teaches that there were 11 appearances of the risen Savior before his ascension. The Bible says that he appeared to over 500 people at one time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was seen of above 500 brethren at one time. So this morning, I just want us to take a look at the resurrection from John chapter 20, verse 11 through 16. And I want us to look at his first appearance. That morning didn't start out too good for Mary. Mary Magdalene, that was. The Bible says there in verse 1 of chapter 20 that Mary came early to the tomb. Women in that day got up early. They still do today, some of them. But they got up early, had work to do. And Mary was up early that morning, and she was the first one at the tomb. And when she got there, the stone had been rolled away. Started out bad for Mary, but in reality, it's probably one of the greatest days in her life. You remember Mary? Mary was the one that had eight devils in her. The Lord cast out seven devils in Luke chapter 8. Was cast out of her. And ever since then, she was a devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was the last one at the cross and the first one at the tomb. She was devoted. I thought about it this morning. Oh, how we need some devoted people today. We need some devoted people in the church today. Mary was devoted, and I noticed several things this morning that I want to share about Mary. Mary had, number one, a personal relationship with Jesus. The Bible says there in verse 15, Jesus said unto her, Jesus spoke to her and said, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Mary, why are you crying? Think about this. The first word out of Jesus' mouth, the first word out of the risen Savior's mouth was to Mary. And she was a woman that had seven devils cast out of her. And Jesus said, "Mary, what's wrong? Mary, why are you crying? Why weepest thou?" Can I tell you something? This Easter Sunday morning, salvation is not about a prayer. It's about a person. Think about that. And that is having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in John chapter 10, verse 3. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The resurrection's not about religion, folks. I'm here to tell you, it's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's death and destruction in religion. Religion is man-made, but a relationship with God is God-made. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I'm glad today, because the tomb is empty, because we serve a risen Savior, that I can have a personal relationship with Him and you can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can pray and He hears us. Amen. I can pray over here and He hears me. You can pray over here and He hears you. Somebody can pray on the other side of the world, and if they've got a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, He hears them. He hears our prayer. Better than that, think about this. Not only does He hear our prayer, but He prays for us. The Bible says that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That means He's praying for us. Every sin every thought we think that's wrong, every time we sin as Christians, and God has to look upon that sin. He can't look upon a sin. Jesus says to Him, "I paid His price. I died on the cross for him. I died on the cross for her. Put it on me, Lord." He prays for us even today. The resurrection's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. Jesus came up out of the tomb, the Bible says, and He spoke to Mary. That's personal. He spoke to Mary, and she spoke back. In verse 16, she called Him Rabboni. One of them words I can't say. Meaning Master. I mean, that is personal. Master. I'm glad that we serve a God that knows us and we can know Him. Not only does he know us, but we can have a relationship with him. It's about a personal relationship. Can I tell you one more thing? It gives us a, number two, a message to tell others. Look what the Bible says in verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father." But I love what he said here. "But go," seemed like I've heard that before, "but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended unto the Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. I'm glad today that we serve a God that we can call out his name and talk to him, and he hears our voice. And listen, he speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through that still, small voice. It gives us a message. The resurrection gives us a message to go and tell others. We've got something to tell that other religions don't. He's alive. Jesus said to her, "Touch me not." I read that, and at first I didn't understand it. What does he mean, "touch me not"? It's an interesting little phrase there, "touch me not." Later on, he told Thomas, "If you don't believe who I am, touch me. See the where the spear cut me. Touch my hand. See the nail prints in my hand." But here he tells Mary, "Touch me not." That word "touch" means more than just touching the surface of something. This is what it meant. I looked it up, and it meant stop clinging to me like before. Stop clinging to me like before. Stop doing something that she had always done. Because listen, see, after the resurrection, there had to be a new kind of relationship. Before Jesus died and before he arose again, they worshiped him physically. He was there. He was there with them. He walked with them and talked them as they went their ways. He was there. It was a bodily presence. But you see, after the resurrection, there had to be a new kind of relationship. Before, they worshiped him bodily. But now, after the resurrection, they had to worship him spiritually. Spiritually, like we do today. What's the Bible say? The Bible says we worship him in spirit and in truth. And Paul said it best. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. "Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now," talking about after the resurrection, "now we know him no more in the flesh," spiritually. When we worship Jesus today, we worship him spiritually. We no longer cling to him physically, so we can go like Mary did and tell others about him. You know, that's why I thought about this. That's why we as Protestants don't have Jesus on the cross. You ever thought about that? You go to St. Francis, in every room there's a picture of the cross with Jesus on the cross. But we don't worship Jesus on the cross. I'm glad he went to the cross, amen? I'm glad that he went to the cross. I'm glad he took our punishment on that old rugged cross. But they took him down off the cross and put him in a tomb. And on the third day, he arose from the grave victorious. He's not on the cross. I'm thankful for the cross, but he's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. I'm thankful for the tomb, but he's risen. Amen? We cease to cling to him like we used to. Jesus is alive, and guess what? He's coming back one day, and our job as Christians is to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Mary did what Jesus said. Mary said, Jesus told her, "Go and tell." And Mary went and told the other disciples, and Jesus said, "Touch me not, But go and tell. Go tell the others that I'm alive, never to die again. And that's what he wants us to do as his believers, as Christians, to go and tell people about his love. He wants us to go and to tell people that there's only joy in having a relationship with Jesus. He wants us to go and tell those that are lost, that those that are searching, they have a life filled with voids. He wants us to go to them and say Jesus can fill that void. He wants us to go to people that are chained down by sin and say Jesus can break those chains. He wants us to go and tell others about that peace and that joy and that love that only comes from a relationship with him. He told Mary, go and tell others that I'm alive. Folks, I keep saying this, but I've been to the tomb, and there's nobody in the tomb. He is risen indeed. They say that the early church greeted others by saying Maranatha, which means, lo, I am risen. They would walk around instead of saying, hey, how you doing? They'd say, Maranatha. And the others would reply, he's risen indeed. He's alive. The resurrection tells us that we need to go and tell because we can have a relationship with him. One more thing and I quit. His resurrection, folks, gives us power. If you would, let me just read Matthew chapter 28, you know this verse, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. The Bible says this, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, and this is what he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Not some power, but all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. I'm telling you, the resurrection gives us power. It gave him power. He came out of the tomb. I don't know of another person that did that. You? Resurrection power. I just want to say this morning, my Savior's able. Jesus is able. He can do anything. Nothing, the Bible says, nothing is impossible with him. He's able. He can handle anything. Nothing is impossible for the one that conquered death, hell, and the grave. And if he conquered the tomb, listen to me, he can take care of you and he can take care of me. Not only does the resurrection give him power, but I want to say it gives us power. The Bible says in John 19, and there came also Nicodemus and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, and about, listen to this, 100 pounds. That's a lot of weight. And they put it on the Lord Jesus Christ in the tomb. And it made me think of this, and I'm going to quit, but made me think of this. Whatever you face in life, whatever you might be going through in life, Jesus went through it. Whatever you face, Jesus has already went through it. Whatever weight has you down, Jesus has already went through it. And listen to me, just like he removed his, he's got the power to remove yours. Jesus has the power to restore you. The Lord Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and he made a way. Can I just say this? I know I got to close. Jesus is alive. And the Bible says it like this. The sting of death is gone. I heard this story about a daddy and a son that was driving down the road one day, and a bee flew in the car. One day a caterpillar came in the car when I was driving down the road, and I almost hit two cars, run in the ditch, but a bee came in. That's another story. A bee came in the car while they were driving, and the little boy was deathly allergic to bees. And he knew that if he got stung, that he could die. And you can imagine, he was petrified. He was scared to death, hollering, screaming, and the daddy finally pulled off the road and grabbed the bee and just squashed it and let the bee go, and the bee flew out the window as best he could. And the little boy was still afraid, and the father said, "Son, don't worry." And dad said, and the little boy said, "Well, Dad, Heffy comes back in." And the dad said, "Look at my hand." And he showed his hand to the little boy, and he said, "See that little black thing? That's his stinger. And he can't sting you because he's already stung me." Boy, I won't tell you, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He took the sting out of death. Sure, we're going to leave this world one day. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. But I'm going to tell you, there's no sting. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's exactly what Christ did for us. He took the sting of death for you and me. 1 Corinthians says it best where it says, "O grave, where is thy sting?" You know where it is? Jesus took it. Can I say this one more time? We serve a risen Savior. He came out of the tomb. Man, I'm telling you, I bet that devil thought that he had won when Jesus died there on the cross. I can just see the old devil. I know how he works. He works on me a lot. I can just see the old devil as he was there when Jesus died on the cross, and Jesus said, "It is finished." I can just imagine that old devil jumping for joy. I can imagine that old devil jumping for joy when they took Jesus' lifeless body down off the cross and put it in the tomb. I can just see the devil just laughing and partying. I can see the devil laughing when they rolled that big old stone in front of that tomb. The Bible says they sealed it with a Roman seal. I can see that devil just laughing when they placed all of those spices. The Bible says it was about 100 pounds of spices on Jesus' body. I can see the devil just saying, "Ha, ha, ha." When they put those Roman guards outside of that tomb that day. But I'm telling you this morning, early Sunday morning, that tomb couldn't hold him. Early Sunday morning, that stone that they rolled in front of the tomb couldn't hold Jesus in the tomb. That seal that they put around that tomb that day couldn't hold him in the tomb. Those Roman soldiers couldn't hold him in the tomb. That weight that they put on the Lord Jesus Christ that day couldn't hold him in the tomb, because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He arose victorious. Thank God he arose from the grave. But I'm glad I can have a personal relationship with the Lord. I'm glad I can talk to him and he talks to me. I'm glad that if I take my last breath here on this earth, I know where I'm going. I'm going to take my next one in heaven. Not because I'm a preacher, not because my daddy was a deacon. It's because one day I got on my knees and I asked the Lord to come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive me of my sins. I wonder today, do you have that relationship with the Lord? Do you know for sure that if you took your last breath today, you'd end up in heaven? Listen, don't walk through those doors. Don't leave out of here today not knowing. The Bible says these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you today. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. And we know that we can have a relationship with you, Lord. I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice knows you in a personal way. But God, if there's one person here today that doesn't know you, Lord, as Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to that heart today. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would move in this invitation and speak to hearts, draw them closer to you. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.